Colossians 4, verse 2. So one of my old habits, I guess, for a little season of my life, the first Sunday of the new year was a Sunday where I preached on prayer. So when I got the call this week that Ram was sick and he couldn't preach this Sunday, instead of going to Proverbs, I thought I would do something with you on prayer this first Sunday of the new year. Encourage us to pray. I know that I need regular encouragements for my prayer life, not just as another task for me to perform, but as communion with God. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Just pray with me first that we would ask God to fill us with His Spirit so that we can see His Word and grow in His Word. All right, would you pray with me? Father, we ask that as we come to this, your Word, your speaking to us, help us by your Spirit to see what you said, to understand what you said, and then to apply it. Not just to look intently into the mirror of the word and walk away and forget it, but Father, to be changed by it, to actually do what you say, and so show that you are our God. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So at its most basic, what is prayer? This is the definition of prayer that I want to start with. Prayer is talking with God. Right? Not merely talking to Him, but being in conversation with God, where He talks to us by His Spirit through His Word, and we respond in prayer. And why is this so important? Why is prayer so important? There are a lot of reasons that we could go through, but I just want to share two of them with you very briefly to start this message. So one reason that prayer is important is because it brings comfort to our soul. Brings comfort to our soul. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The best balm for a troubled heart is to talk with God. Number two, prayer is important. Is because it brings glory to God. So Jesus said in John 14, verse 13, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." And often we focus on the first part of that statement, that He will do whatever we ask. But Jesus was focused on the second part of His statement. He was focused on the glory of God. So that. And in that light, instead of prayer just being talking with God, I think it might be better to say that prayer is talking with God that leads to the fulfillment of His purposes. Prayer is talking with God that leads to the fulfillment of His purposes. Father, I ask you for this. So that, Father, would you answer this so that, what is His purpose? What is His goal? Jesus' concern was to magnify the goodness and greatness of God through our talking with Him. So prayer is important, but knowing that we need to pray is one thing. Actually praying, not just going through the motions, but really talking with God. That's another thing. And so in this message, what I want to do is encourage us with Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Three instructions here that urge us to make prayer a priority in our lives, that urge us to pray. And I trust that this will encourage us to be prayers this coming year. So number one, be steadfast in prayer. So the primary command in this verse is devote yourselves to prayer. And that word devote comes from a root word, which means to be strong, to be steadfast, right? So it's a command for us to persevere, to prevail in prayer. It is so easy not to pray. I find that in my life. It's so easy not to pray. I'm the kind of person that likes to get things done, that likes to do things, right? Give me a task. Okay, I can handle that. I like to do things. It's so easy not to pray. We need these reminders to take the harder path, right? And so we see the same instruction in for example, Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful, watchful, devoted in prayer. Right? Devoted in prayer, steadfast in prayer. We see this with the early Christians. This was their practice. They, the apostles, all joined together constantly, steadfastly, devotedly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Acts 2, verse 42. They, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, devoted themselves. They were steadfast in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and to the prayers. We're to be steadfast and constant in prayer. We're not to give up. We're to pray often and we are to pray regularly. Psalm 119, verse 164. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Daniel, right? What does it say? What does it say of him? 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And that's what it looks like when people are devoted to prayer. What about us? What does this look like in our lives? How do we put this into practice? So at a very practical level, one thing that we can do is we can plan to pray. We plan to pray. Most of us are used to living with calendars and appointments. I don't have my phone. I have my calendar on my phone. I have my to-do list on my phone. It's a list of things I have to do. We're all used to having things that we plan out that we're going to do something because it's important to us. If we don't jot it down somewhere, we're going to forget it. If we don't plan it, we're not going to remember. And the same way, if we don't deliberately set aside time with God, the tendency is for the demands of work and family and finances and church and a host of everyday distractions to keep us from praying. Right? So Don Carson says this, and it's a bit of a long quote. I've only put up part of it here. But he says this. He says, much praying is not done because we do not plan to pray. We do not drift into spiritual life. We do not drift into disciplined prayer. We will not grow in prayer unless we plan to pray. That means we must self-consciously set aside time to do nothing but pray. You got to plan it. And then he gives 2 cautions, right? He recognizes, listen, we're not all cookie cutter people, right? We're not all the same. So he gives 2 cautions. He says, of course, mere regularity in such matters does not ensure that effective praying takes place. Genuine godliness is so easily aped, its place usurped by its barren cousin, formal religion. Right? So first caution, just because you're regular, you've got something planned, and you do it over and over and over again, it doesn't mean you're spiritual. It doesn't mean it's an effective prayer. So you got to be careful about that. And then the second caution he gives is this. It's also true that different lifestyles demand different patterns. A shift worker, for instance, will have to keep changing the scheduled prayer times, while a mother of twin 2-year-olds will enjoy neither the energy nor the leisure of someone living in less constrained circumstances, right? You think about your life. what is your life like, right? And you may, and think of someone else's life. Don't copy that. Your life is different. And so I appreciate that those cautions. I appreciate that Carson talks about different lifestyles and different patterns. Joe Carter says each of us has different priorities, different energy, and different limits that we need to prioritize as we seek to make goals. So when I talk about planning regular times of prayer, I mean, create habits of prayer that work for you, right? That reflect your season of life, that reflect your responsibilities, and to an extent that reflects how you're wired. All of us are different. But having said all that, again, going back to Carson, he says, after all the difficulties have been duly recognized and all the dangers of legalism properly acknowledged, the fact remains that unless we plan to pray, we will not pray. The reason we pray so little is that we do not plan to pray. So let me tell you about one of my failures in this, right? That this message kind of, I woke up and I said, well, wait a minute. This is me, right? So I've had a planned practice for many years that the first thing I do in the morning is I have a prayer time. So before my shower, before breakfast, while I'm still in bed, I have a prayer time. And a couple of months ago, I wanted to add a prayer time in the middle of the day to pray for a particular ministry that I'm involved with. And I wanted to add a prayer time at night for my family. Both of those things really important, right? Both of those things coming from very good intentions in my heart. Guess what I found? That my praying was very sporadic, that most of the time I forgot. And it was only occasionally I was like, oh, I knew I was supposed to do this today. And I'm going to get back to it. I'm going to get back to it. And for all the good intentions, for all the wanting to, that my will would do this, didn't happen. Very sporadic. Which brings me back to Don Carson's point. Much praying is not done because we do not plan to pray. So what's my plan? I don't know yet. All right. One of you come back to me in a couple of weeks and say, all right, Wayne, what was your plan? What did you plan? All right, get back to me. Hold me to account on this. I don't know what the plan is yet, but I know this. I have to plan. It doesn't have to be a great plan, folks, when you make a plan. It doesn't have to be big plan, right? Some of the prayers in the Bible, you look at them, they're very, very short. But the thing is, if we don't plan, it doesn't happen. It becomes sporadic, right? So if you haven't planned the habit of praying, let me encourage you, just take a step. I mean, no matter how small it is, just take one small step. And just as we plan personal times of prayer with God, can I also encourage you, make plans also to pray with God's people, to pray with the body of believers together or with one or two other Christians, just getting together and praying, make plans to pray. We also cultivate the steadfastness in praying by connecting our prayers more faithfully to our everyday experiences. And so prayer is not merely this compartment of my day where, I keep this appointment and then I go on to other things, right? Prayer is, something that encompasses all the responsibilities, all the circumstances of our daily lives. And so we talk throughout our day with God about our relationships, about our work, our stresses, our celebrations, our plans, our decisions, our thoughts, our feelings, our struggles, our failures, our triumphs, everything. We talk with God about it throughout our day. I've really appreciated Nehemiah's example of prayer ever since a preacher years and years ago pointed this out in a sermon. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, we see Nehemiah fasting and praying before God, before the God of heaven. He comes and brings his prayers to God about the situation in Jerusalem. And perhaps this is part of his regular prayer time. The prayer is even recorded for us. But he prays, right, to God. But then in chapter 2, he's at work, if you will, and he is suddenly presented with this unbelievable opportunity. Right? Verse 4, the king says to him, "What is it you want? Here's my blank check. What do you want?" Right? This incredible opportunity is given to him. And the Bible says that Nehemiah prayed to God before he answered the king. In that moment, a quick, silent prayer shot like an arrow to heaven. And then he answered. And that's what I want to be like. Cultivating the habit of regular planned talks with God so that I'm also ready to call on him throughout the challenges of each day. Regular times of talking with God set aside so that when the circumstances of life come up, I'm ready to shoot a prayer to heaven. Sometimes that prayer is just one word. Help. Help. Let's be steadfast in prayer. Number 2, be alert in prayer. This is the next instruction about prayer from Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. It's actually one of the ways we remain devoted to prayer, steadfast in prayer, is by being watchful, being alert, being vigilant. This is what Jesus called his disciples to do in Gethsemane, right? Shortly before his arrest. He had warned them that they would fall away. He had said to them, you know, that very night you will deny me. This is a very spiritually dangerous moment in your discipleship. And Matthew recounts what took place. Jesus went with his disciples to Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, with him, began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Okay, be vigilant with me. Be alert with me." And then he goes off and he prays. And then he comes back. When he comes back, what does he find? His disciples, he finds them sleeping. And he says, "Could you men not keep watch with me? Be alert with me. Be vigilant with me for just 1 hour. Watch and pray. Be alert and pray. Be vigilant and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." So notice the reason why the disciples needed to be watchful. They were in danger of falling into temptation. The enemy of our soul wants to isolate us from God. He wants us to kind of leave God out of the picture, not talk with him regularly and constantly. And so many, many, many years later, an older and much wiser Peter writes this: be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He warns us. He warns us Satan is cunning. He will use suffering and struggle so that you will be reluctant to trust God, even to maybe become bitter towards God. But then he'll not only do that, but he'll also use busyness to distract us. He will take the non-essentials of life to clutter our thinking. He will use success to make us self-reliant. He will use comfort to lull us into a state of apathy and sleepiness. And that's why we need to be watchful and alert in prayer. Right, so this is defensive strategy against what Satan will do against us. But not just the defensive strategy, it's also something that we need to do in order to advance the kingdom of God. We stay alert to advance God's purposes. Not just self-protection, but vigilant for an outward and a Godward purpose. And that's actually the context of Colossians 4, verse 2. So if you look at the next couple of verses, verses 3 and 4, it says, be devoted for prayer, be vigilant. Why? So that God, Paul says, pray for us too, so that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Right? So pray, be alert, be vigilant in your prayers so that I might make the most of every opportunity to advance the gospel. Not just self-protection, but to say, God, what's your purpose? What do you want to accomplish? Keep me vigilant to that until the very end. So what might this mean in terms of our everyday practice? What might that look like? Well, for one thing, in our praying, we want to talk with God about our own heart and life to guard against sin and temptation. We want to engage in self-examination and confession and repentance. Right? So we want to be alert. We want to be vigilant to say, God, what's the condition of my soul? What's going on in my life, my relationships? What's going on that I need to be alert to that's keeping me from walking well with you? And then not just again looking inward to the sins that might infiltrate our own heart and life, but also we want to stay focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To keep our eyes on him. We want to be vigilant to keep Christ at the center, to keep looking to him. This is the battlefield, if you will. All right? This is the battlefield that in our praying, we want to keep our gaze upward and forward and outward to the things above, to the things of the world. So at one level, we want to be vigilant in our everyday practice. We want to just be very vigilant about what's the condition of my soul and being very vigilant to keep my eyes on Jesus, right? Not letting the condition of my soul weigh me down that, I become despairing of my situation, but using that despair to then turn my eyes to Jesus and seeing that he is worthy and he is sufficient. And I want to be very, very alert and vigilant to keep my eyes fixed there. So So that's one level. But then at a more basic level, being vigilant sometimes simply means staying awake, right? You know, like the disciples needed to do in Gethsemane. And staying awake is both physical and mental. So sometimes staying awake, the reason I don't pray at the end of the day, or I don't usually plan something at the very end of the day, is because I find it hard to stay awake, right? It's the way I'm wired. So, and so that's part of the planning. Right? But it's not just a physical thing. It's also a mental thing. I don't know about you, but my mind drifts. Does yours when you pray? My mind wanders. I'm praying and then I'm thinking, oh, let me look that up on Google and search this thing. And so what can we do about that? You know, I'm talking with God. My thoughts go elsewhere. How do we kind of impede this bent towards distraction? Some people vocalize their prayers. And some people pace. They walk as they pray. Some people write out their prayers. There's just some ideas. You may have others that you use, and certainly share those with people as if you find them helpful for you. I find that a prayer list is helpful. Again, not wanting it to be just mechanical, you know, I've gone through my list, but it does help me to stay on track, to stay focused. I use the PrayerMate app. I find that helpful to remind me just to pray regularly for certain people and ministries that are part of my life. You are part of that prayer list. Part of this church family. So on a regular basis, I go through this rotation. I'm making sure that I'm praying for all the people who are part of this church. Find what works for you. Use something that helps you stay on track and focused as you pray. Be alert in prayer. And then finally, be thankful in prayer. This is the third part of the prayer in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So how do we protect this godly habit of praying from becoming a laundry list of requests? How do we keep, how do we stay steadfast and watchful in our praying without becoming filled with fear and worry? Oh, there's so many needs. Oh, there's so much to be concerned about. How do we become from being overwhelmed by an avalanche of worry and fear? Praying with thanksgiving is one of the ways we cultivate joyful steadfastness, because it bolsters our delight in drawing near to God, and it bolsters our confidence in his good providence. It helps us to pray with joy and with faith. So let's be thankful for what God has done. We can start with the cross and the empty tomb, because every good thing we have is bought by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Thank the Lord for your salvation. Thank God that he has redeemed you from eternal hell. Thank God that he has granted you the forgiveness of sins and given you the hope of heaven. Think a bit about that, because in a little bit, we're going to pray and give thanks to God for some of the things he has done for us in terms of our salvation. Express your gratitude for God's Spirit and his Word, which are working powerfully to transform you into the likeness of Jesus. Along that line, we can also be thankful for suffering, because through it, God often works deeply in us to shape us in faith and hope and love. Thank the Lord for his provision and his blessings, his grace in your life. Even though he says no to some of our most cherished requests, even though he says no to them, and yes, those things we can even thank God for, right? Believing that he is good. Even though he says no to some of those, don't forget the many times when he has said yes. When I was raising, we were raising our kids, one of the things that I said in my heart was, as much as possible, I want to say yes to my children. As much as possible. There are times when I need to say no. As much as possible, I want to say yes. God often says yes to us. We need to say thank you. So when you pray, look back and acknowledge what God has done. Thank God that he actually listens to our prayers. He actually hears. We can also be thankful for what God will do. In other words, we look forward by faith to God's answers to prayer. It doesn't mean that we presume to know how God is going to answer or that we're dictating what he should do, but we can pray knowing that he is in control, that the battle belongs to him, and that the victory is ultimately in his hands. If not now, then eternity. We don't pray as though we face an uncertain fate. We pray as those who belong to the living God. We pray as those who belong to the living God, body and soul. We belong to him. The living God whose love is unfathomable, whose power is unconquerable, whose wisdom is unquestionable, whose word is unquenchable. Right? We belong to him, and before such a God, we can bow with grateful hearts, full of joy and faith. And I think when our prayers are filled with gratitude, it inspires us to be steadfast in our praying. God's work in Christ by his Spirit on behalf of his children should be that springboard that motivates us to keep on praying. And I don't mean by this that we treat God as some genie who merely exists to give us what we need. I mean by this that through Thanksgiving, we are acknowledging that we are talking with the God to whom we belong, and that nothing in our lives happens except by his good will. Nothing. And so I'm reminded of this as I finish work. Some of you know my last day of work was December 31st. And I say, God, what's next for me? I don't want to collect seashells by the seashore. Some of you will know that quote from Don't Waste Your Life. I don't want to waste the rest of my life. I don't want to be just busy for the rest of my life. I want to be living, finishing well for your purposes. And so I look to God, trusting, because he has my life in his hands. I've also been told that I have two growths in my kidney. And so I'm in the midst of biopsies to figure out if they are cancer or not. And in this final season of my life is one where I know that I will face more and more health issues because I'm getting old. But as this outward body wastes away, my prayer is that my inward body, my inward soul, will be renewed day by day. There are many times when we don't see answers to our prayers that we want. And it can be hard in those seasons to pray with thanksgiving. Trevin Wax describes it like this. He says, we talk to God and we wonder if we're just talking to the wall. But even when God seems absent and the heavens seem silent, God, where are you? Do you care? Even when that seems to be the case, we can rejoice in the good and great things He has done. And we can believe, As Watt says, that prayer changes things, that more is happening in us and around us than we can imagine. There's more going on than just what we see. And so we pray with thanksgiving. Prayer is difficult. If it was easy, Paul wouldn't need to tell us, be steadfast. Prayer is a struggle. If it came naturally to us, Paul wouldn't need to say, be alert, be watchful. Prayer is not always enjoyable. If it was, Paul wouldn't need to say to us, be thankful, have a grateful heart. And so I urge you, as I urge myself, pray. Not because we need another activity to fill our day, but because we need to talk with God about the fulfillment of His purposes through our daily circumstances. Please join me. Father, we bow before you. And we hear your command to us to be devoted to prayer, to be steadfast. And we hear your command to be watchful, alert, and vigilant. And we hear your call to be thankful. And we ask, because we know our own hearts, how easy it is to walk away from this and forget. We ask, merciful God, gracious God, loving God, who desires what is very best for us, we ask, God, that you will help us to do what you call us to do. Help us to obey so that you might be glorified and that your people might be built up. In the name of Jesus.